Hello and welcome to the Field Trips. This is the Field Trip to Red Larch episode number 4, which is the final episode of our Field Trip to Red Larch series. This was a one-shot where we took the opening section of the Princes of the Apocalypse module for 5th edition D&D, and we tried to run it as a one-shot with varying degrees of success. Mostly, as we've hinted at in the earlier intros, we ran a little long on time, so the ending had to be really kind of rushed for us to have any sort of satisfying conclusion. And I'm still not sure that we did. I'll leave that up to you guys. There has been some talk about us trying to get the same players back together and doing additional one-shots to move this module forward with the goal of eventually completing it, but nothing has been scheduled as of yet. If that's something you would be interested in, please let us know through the comments, the forum, Twitter, Facebook, or other, and let us know if that's something that you would enjoy. For myself, I really think there was some good roleplay that happened between myself and the other players in character most of the time. It did take a lot of time, which in an ongoing campaign, which would be great for a one-shot, maybe we should have been a little bit more focused, but I don't know. Again, I thought it was fun. So anyways, we have the same players as before, myself playing Valshawn, a Fire Genasi sorcerer. We also had Michael F., who is playing a Water Genasi cleric named Saltava. And then finally, we had Jared playing a Earth Genasi druid named Bantar. And we can't forget Weasley the Weasel, who was also involved. As we ended our last session, we had finally made our way to Lance Rock, where we entered into the caves below Lance Rock, despite the warnings of the Lord of Lance Rock that we should stay away. We encountered some zombies, and we are progressing further down into those caverns, trying to find the source of what is causing these zombies to rise. Anyway, on to the show. Here is the Field Trip to Red Larch, episode number 4.
Up ahead to the west, you can see that the hallway that you guys are in opens up into another chamber, and there appears to be in the center, it's about another 30-foot chamber, similar to the one where you walked in, except the center of that is a stone slab with some kind of dark red liquid on it.
Well, I go and inspect it.
With his tongue.
Yeah. Okay.
Put your cock on it again.
Yeah. Roll a dexterity save.
I got a 5.
As you guys approach this area, there's a round high-ceiling cave that opens here. It's got two narrow exits, one to the north and one to the south, and then you came from the east. And there's a flat boulder that sits in the center of the cave. As you start to get close to it, you can see that it's about 6 feet across, 8 feet long, and 3 feet high. And there's dark stains on the top of it, which you, even from where you are at, you can see that there's it's blood. As soon as you enter the room and start to walk over there, up above you, a wooden box is tipped and all these rocks fall on your head and you react,
everyone dies.
You react very poorly.
I put my shield up and then rocks bury.
Brother, nothing happens when I lead. Perhaps we should keep it that way.
You take 3 bludgeoning damage and then 2 zombies jump down from a ledge that was up above there right beside you, and then they will both attack you.
Yeah, they will.
They both miss.
Shield. Working. Doing its job.
Now we're going to roll initiative again.
I'm finding all the zombies. Who needs an elf when you have a water ganache that just finds everything? That's bad.
Okay, so Saltaba, you have a bunch of rocks dropped on your head, and the crate itself misses you. It's like a wooden crate that they tipped. Mm-hmm. Like, it misses you. You get out of the way of that, but you don't get out of the way of some of the rocks. And they're small rocks, like fist-sized rocks.
I would not call them small when they hit you in the face.
I never said they felt good. It's not a massage. He might like it.
Rock massage. Yeah. No, so I pull out my spear and be like, I have it this time. And I try to spear him.
Okay.
Yeah, 20.
That hits.
For 5 points of damage.
The one on the right or the left of you?
The left, dramatically. And then I take like a defensive position, like a fisherman.
And then
like
Bantar?
With the spear.
Attack. That is a critical hit.
To the one on the left or the right?
To whatever one looks more threatening to my good old friend here. If they look the same, I will pick the left one.
He just hit the left one, so then technically the right one would probably be the...
You got that one, brother. I get this one, poke. Nice.
Well, you just have to show me up.
8 points of damage.
No, you double. No, you roll again. You roll another. You get another dice.
Holy hell. That is a lot of damage.
So,
yeah, 11? That's 5 plus 6 plus 2.
13?
I'd look at you. I'm so glad he's on our side.
To his face this time.
What'd you hit him with?
A spear.
A spear. Okay, so your spear just punctures through his, like, soft flesh.
Face.
In his face. And, like, his skull kind of looks like the skull that he pulled the arrow out of. Like, it just punctures right through it. Like it. But he's still standing. He's fine with that. He's okay to have a spear in his face.
All right. Sean. It's when I pull it out. That's
so
what does
I will
damage.
Walk up and put my hands between my brothers and burning hands yet again.
Okay. So as you walk up, they look at you and they actually like start to pull back as if they're like fearful of you.
Oh, that's right. They know what's coming.
They knew you in
dexterity
life.
Saves?
Both pass. Or no, one pass, one fail. They both fail.
Oh, I like that progression. Yeah. They both fail.
They subtract, like, they're so horrible at dexterity.
I know, that's why I'm doing this, because they are going to fail. 12 points of damage, and more importantly, I get the roll on the wild surge for your
table.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
Oh, so fucking close.
There was a one in what you rolled. Yeah, does that count?
Well, no, it was literally one tumble away. It was there.
One tumble.
There. How much damage was it? 12?
12.
Fire?
Fire damage.
Okay.
Excellent.
So the one burns, and it's like how this thing is standing anymore is beyond you. But it actually, like, you just singe it completely, and it just looks like a singed corpse. But it's still standing.
It gets plus one die four fire to all its attacks now.
The other one is like all burning as well, and it's still standing as well.
Unbelievable. But these things continue to fight.
The magic continues to bind them together.
I'd be like, the magic continues to let them live beyond death and undeath.
So you burnt them, and like they look fearful of you, and they actually then turn and attack.
Bentar.
They both turn and attack you.
Bastards.
Lunge at you like with no speed and grace at all, and you easily dodge out of the way. And then Saltaba.
Making the undead more dead.
Since 1854.
Making them un-undead.
So I lunge out with my spear again. 17.
That will hit.
And I do 6 points of damage again as I spear him through the chest.
Which one?
The one on the left.
You spear him and your spear goes directly through his chest, and like you pull your spear out sideways, and it just rips his skin, and he still remains standing.
They won't go down.
After you will be Bandar.
More spear.
That more will hit.
I am rolling really well.
Roll damage. He's down.
How do you want to kill him?
With a spear to the knee.
Do you mean face?
So your spear goes into his knee, and the whole bottom part of his leg falls off.
His face explodes. And yes,
when his leg falls off, he just collapses to the ground in a heap of fiery flames.
He hits his head on the rock, and
and then
good off. Rock.
All right, I will use my fighter bolt. 12 versus armor class.
That will hit.
Fighter bolt to the face for 10 points of damage.
Okay, that fire hits him in the chest, and he like moans a little and then falls to the ground and starts to get up and then just stops moving.
I like to think it's like a bottle rocket. It like sticks in his chin and goes
and his one head. Firebolt. Two firebolt.
10 points of damage.
Okay. So you've got two dead zombies.
Okay. We can activate more zombies if we split up. So let's all run in different rooms.
Rub my face on
it. Where do you want to go? We will not go in that direction.
Left.
What looks like you should lick it?
Let's go. I think we should go left. No, I would like to inspect these people if I can glean any information on where they are from or who they are. What are they?
Their
humans?
Bodies are so burnt, like you can't.
Are they were they humans when they were fighting me?
Yeah, they look like they were.
Do they have pointy ears or beards?
Not anymore. But
Okay, no, if I don't know.
But no, they were human. It looked like they were human before, but he just completely incinerated them. So okay. They're just like black and charred flesh now.
On the previous one, did I notice any markings from clothing?
What kind of markings are you looking for?
Name tags?
Well, their clothes were like so tattered and like old that...
Do they look like bears?
No, I'm nothing like no insignias or anything.
No, there was nothing like that.
Well, then we continue further towards this...
The left tunnel goes to the south, and the right tunnel goes to the north.
The altar is just filled with blood.
As you get closer, you can see that there's definitely blood. That's the dark stain on the top of the...
Okay, I take a bit of the blood, and I taste it.
Make a constitution save. You take 4 necrotic damage. So when you taste the blood, you can tell that this altar has been used for... like necrotic rituals and undead rituals and stuff.
I'd be like, oh god, I need to rinse my mouth out.
This blood does not taste like normal blood either.
Made of water.
As you taste it actually starts to like burn your tongue and stuff, and then that's why
I was raised by Sahagwin. I'm used to tasting flesh. So I'd be like, I need to rinse my mouth out, and I grab a potion and I drink it.
Okay.
It's poison.
It's poison. It's necrotic blood.
Wait,
poison. It's not necrotic.
Does it touch your tongue?
I gained 10 hit points. I'm back at full.
Okay.
That was an awesome potion that guy...
I think you were a fool to begin with, so...
No,
now
I was...
back at full.
I was at negative... I was minus 10.
It was a play on the word fool.
Fool.
Oh,
pities the foo.
Oh, you were making fun of me.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't get it.
I was making fun with you.
Jerk.
I was laughing
with
you.
As the target.
I've been hit by so many things tonight.
I was laughing with you when you catch up to me later. So yeah, I think we should split up. One go north, one go south. Let's activate both zombies at the same time.
And then meet back here.
And be back in the middle, and that's where we'll have our fight.
No, I'd be like, we want to split up for real?
No, brother.
No.
No, okay. So we continue. You have light
yes.
and shield.
I track where I can, if I can.
Okay, so you guys take the path that heads towards the south. This narrow passage is about 10 feet high in most places, with rough, irregular walls. Protruding spurs on the walls are coated in dried blood. Eventually, this narrow passage widens into a star-shaped cavern ahead. It has many clefts in its walls, and only 2 across the cavern seem large enough to actually traverse. 3 zombies lurch about the area. One is costumed like a bear. Another is dressed as a lady in a frilly dress and thick makeup. And the last is costumed as a jester with jingling bells on its collar and sleeves. You see the jester, like, kind of moving sideways towards you guys, and it's like the little bells are ringing and stuff on its costume. And the bear...
It's adorable.
The one that's dressed like the bear, like, rises up on its back legs and then goes back down.
Does he have bare feet?
Yep. And it's wearing, like, shoes that are actually, like, bare feet. And it, like,
man, I'm good.
Rises up and goes down, rises up, goes down. But as it's doing that, it's, like, coming towards you. And then the other one in the frilly dress, like, she looks like she's putting on makeup, and she's, like, moving her hands across her lips and stuff, and her lips are just, like, peeling off as she's, like, doing this.
Oh, God.
Dibs on the hot chick.
Oh, that's the blood that I tasted. It was her. I know it.
Okay.
Can we shoot them?
they're all, like, coming towards you. Yeah, you can
I will them. Cast Entangle on them.
I will, the bear, no, the lady one, I'd like to, kisses. Bathe her in
love.
Moon glow.
Kisses.
In the moonlight, she must look better.
The sacred flames of moonbeams.
The okay. sacred moonbeam.
So they will roll initiative. So Bantar, you can react first. They were on kind of in the middle of the room of this star-shaped chamber, and they start to come towards you guys, and they're probably about 15 feet away from you.
Entangle.
Okay.
Vines and thorns and all sorts of earth
Do
start
they make
coming
deck
from
saves?
The ground. Yes. And they are considered on rough terrain.
They all 3 fail.
Then they fail. They are restrained.
Excellent.
Yes, very good.
They get a strength check each turn to escape.
I'd be like, I'd be like dancing out of the way. Oh, it's you, brother. I thought this was something else trying to grab me.
Not this,
this
time.
This place seems to be after me.
The world is trying to kill you.
The world is trying to kill me.
Okay, so they are restrained, not grappled. Restrained is worse.
It is worse.
Okay, so you see like these vines like rise up and start grabbing their legs and like holding them down, and they're like they're trying to move, and they like they're not doing anything. So it has them good.
Excellent. Bather in Moonglow.
Failure is not an option.
No, radiant damage.
But they do fail.
That's got 3 radiant damage.
Okay.
That's the lips lady.
I move close to them, actually, as my other action.
Does it count as difficult terrain for you?
No, I do not have to deal with that.
Why not?
I believe it is a racial ability.
If I cast a firebolt...
Oh, yeah, that's right, like natural thing.
Do they get disadvantage on their... Or do I get advantage on my attack since they're restrained? How does that work?
I think you
do,
but...
I'm sorry, I do not know that rule.
I forgot.
I'll say green.
Yeah, it's either you get advantage or they get disadvantage.
A restrained creature becomes 0, and attack rolls against that creature have advantage. That creature has disadvantage on attack rolls, and the creature has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws.
All right, I got a 19 to hit with firebolt to the face. I'm shooting the bear man for 3 points of damage.
Okay. The zombie dressed as a bear, like, it pulls and struggles with the entanglement and actually manages to break free of its grasp. And the girl also breaks free of its grasp. And the jester continues to be grasped.
He's actually not. He's just pretending he's in a box.
And then it's Bantar's turn.
Natural 20 on the attack. I attacked the closest one to me. I was in the center, so would that be the bear?
That's the girl that's in the center.
Then I attacked the girl.
So Val, I am so glad he's on our team.
Why do you think I keep telling him I love him?
10 points of damage.
If he ever gets upset, I want him to love me more than you. I have told him I have loved him many times today. You, not so much.
He knows.
It's your turn.
I will, if I can move up to them and try to... chilling, frosting air jettisons from my hands as they are covered in a cone of cold. They'll need to give me a dexterity saving throws.
Okay, so these are the two that are free, and this is the one that's not. 2 failures and 1 pass.
Okay. For 9 points of damage maximum. As you hear the ice chills over them.
So the girl just kind of like starts to slowly move and like freeze in place, and then like all the like ice and stuff starts to form on her body, and she just stops moving.
That was so cool.
Oh, yeah, froze her.
Chill out.
Ice to meet you.
And then the jester, which was still like bound up, like you can see like frost heavily on his body and stuff where you've like, he's the one who failed his as well. And then, Sean?
I will shoot the jester in the knee. It seems to work very well for Bantar. With a 17.
Well, you have advantage.
Okay.
See if you crit.
The jester is still restrained.
I did not crit. 17 hits. 3 more points of damage to the knee.
Yeah, hot and cold. Hot and cold.
What happens when hot and cold comes together?
Warm?
Like lukewarm?
Lukewarm.
Luke cold? There's no Luke cold.
When you hit the jester, he like actually pulls away, and he actually moves with such like force that it actually makes him break free of the...
Ah, shit.
So I look at my comrade, and I'm like, cold, greater than symbol, fire.
He then circles around the back of you to where he's now in melee with both of you. So the bear zombie attacks you.
Oh, I don't like what I see here.
That was a crit.
7.
All right.
So he just like puts his hands together and he hits you. And it's not so much that he hits you. It's more that like the actual bone on his forearm like hit you straight across the face.
In truth, though, you barely felt it.
I get that one.
I see what you did there. Bantar, your turn.
He's going to bury you.
This situation is unbearable.
Ah, yeah. You stole my pun.
I'm embarrassed.
See if you can bear this.
Oh, he's a bear.
That is a 19.
That will hit.
Fuck. 3 damage.
Yeah, still 3 damage.
Soldaba?
So I like, there's only 2 left. He's in between all of us. Yes.
Yeah.
There's only one left.
All 3 zombies.
There's the bear in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Then him.
The chick is frozen.
Then the girl is dead right beside the one that's the bear.
Mm-hmm.
But the jester has moved around him, like circled around him, and is between the two of you and Bantar.
Cool. I look at the girl, and I'm like, stay frosty, and I wink. And then I moon glow the bear.
She doesn't move.
Okay, she stayed frosty.
Yeah. He fails.
Oh.
Freeze tag. You're it.
Yeah.
Three.
Dude. I'm just like, dude.
Okay. So I will once again try to firebolt in the face here.
You're fired.
Who are you firebolting to the face?
The
jester's right in front of you, so you'll have disadvantage if you do that.
Then I will, if I fireball the other one.
You still have disadvantage.
Can I?
Because you're in melee with another, with an enemy.
Just do it. Use a Benny.
I do have one. So I'll spend this just to give myself.
To cancel it?
Yep.
So just a normal roll?
I fucking missed.
Okay.
Maybe. I got an 8.
That hits.
Yes. Yes.
That is their armor class.
I made a good suggestion.
Two points of damage.
Versus the jester or versus the bear?
The bear.
He best believe. 2 points of Benny damage. Okay.
Felt it.
The bear will attack Balshawn, and the jester will attack you.
Why are you attacking me, bear? He's the one flaming you.
And they both miss?
Never mind.
Armor.
You should be embarrassed.
You need to roll.
Do you think this is a joke? I got both of them.
That is a 16 plus. That's a 19.
Yep, so you pass. The difficulty is 10 or half the damage you took. And so whichever is higher, and 10 would have been higher. So the so you would have passed. So your vines and stuff would still be going. So they're still difficult terrain.
They all need to make... Well, anyone within 10-foot range of me needs to make a dex save. I am casting Earth Tremor.
Everybody needs to.
Within 10-foot, yes.
Everybody's within 10-foot.
You said okay. Dexterity save?
That does not make
yes,
a save.
DC 13.
Fail.
Yeah. I nimbly dodge out of the way.
As maybe. I grow with anger.
The zombies do not. They nimbly do nothing.
On a failed save, a creature takes 1d6 bludgeoning damage and is knocked prone. If the ground in that area is loose earth or stone, it becomes difficult terrain until cleared.
Okay. So, is that a concentration spell or...
No, it's
no.
Yeah, it just happens. It's
instantaneous.
Okay. Roll your d6 for damage.
No.
And what do you say? It was a d6 plus one or?
Nope, just d6.
Just d6. Four. Okay, so four.
And then they are prone?
Yes, if they fail.
Uh-huh.
So both the jester and the bear are prone.
I say, enough of this bullshit.
And then with this piercing blow, I will break the sound barrier. And then I pierce the bear.
Oh, no, you don't.
Is that a leader?
Looks like a two to me.
Looks like a deuce.
Well, then it's a good thing I have advantage.
Why do you have advantage?
He's prone. A hit.
That will hit.
You're welcome.
Is that a leader?
That's
no.
A leader.
No, that looks like a one to me.
So you take 6 points of damage as I break the sound barrier through his bear body.
It was that joke is truly unbearable.
On his bear skin, with the bear skin rug that he's holding.
The various bits of the bear skin come off onto the shaft of your spear, and he collapses to the ground in a moaning heap of death.
Dramatic.
Well, he didn't have far to collapse in.
I will stay on my tukish, and I will shoot the jester in the face with the firebolt.
Do it.
With a 9. 7 points of damage.
That was respectable.
So he bursts into flames and moans, and then he stands up and attacks.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
And attacks you. Wait, you're prone, aren't you?
Yes.
If he stands up, do I get an attack?
You could have stood up.
But I didn't.
But he didn't. He wanted to lay down there with him. So he fucking misses. It's like 11 or something.
Oh my gosh, I'm rolling so well. It's like a 20-something, like a 22.
That will hit. He passes.
Oh my gosh.
So you...
I spear him in the knee.
His leg... His leg...
6 points of damage.
Breaks off, but he's still...
Kicking.
I just see like the 40 love sign.
I curb stomp him.
And we got the 40 and we just can't
He's
win.
Still standing.
I want to curb stomp this thing so bad.
I'd be like, don't worry, I will break the sound barrier. As I spear him. Ha ha. For 2 points of damage.
Finally. Your spear takes out his other leg.
Really?
And he tries to...
You all can suck my balls.
He tries to take a bite out of you as he goes down to the ground in a rough terrained environment. he is dead. Undead again.
Making the undead.
He dead.
He could not take any more punishment.
Yeah!
You can't,
winner!
You can't make a pun of pun. Like, get out. No. There's the tunnel that you guys came from, and then there's one that goes to the southwest and one that goes to the southeast. There's lots of like little chambers that go back, but in this chamber, but there's not, you can't go far enough to do anything. There's only really the two that go like that way, and then you came from the one from the north.
Mm-hmm. So there's two passageways, north and south?
No, there's two, one southwest and one southeast. And
we
then
can,
there's one
we
which way do you want to go?
We continue along the, we go left.
Then we go right.
This guy, he's like, I touched the dead body again.
It animates back to life again.
Yeah. Okay, so which one are you guys going to go to?
Left.
How are you looking over
which
there,
one's left?
Buddy?
I don't look so good.
You look in need of repair. To the potions that...
I could use a rest.
The potion that he gave us is quite powerful. Excellent. I like that guy. I got to go back to that guy. I'm just going to keep piecemealing information about his long-lost family to milk as many health potions out of this guy.
For another health potion, I can go on.
Yes.
Please deposit a health potion for another minute. Heritage talk. Let's continue on.
Yes.
Left.
I'm fully healed.
Good, you're in front.
Which one's left? Southeast?
You sure you don't want to put me in front?
No.
I pull out my crossbow again.
The way we were walking in, whichever one would be the left most one. That's
I pull out my shield.
Okay, so...
We're in narrow passageway.
So again, the narrow passage travels down, and then it turns towards the north, and then it opens into an enormous cavern illuminated by several guttering torches set in sconces on the walls. The floor is uneven, and the ceiling is 40 feet up. Three flat boulders near the passage entryway serve as tables for human corpses. Severed body parts sit in baskets by the corpses, covered by dry gore. A figure in a dark hood stands by the third table, its back to you. Matted hair juts from the hood, and the figure holds a bone needle threaded with dark cord in its hand. Further to the west, so further into the chamber, you can see a stone stair that climbs the north wall, ending near the ceiling. And you can see there's a human standing up there who's wearing like leather armor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's looking towards the wall, and he looks up and sees you guys walk in. Further down, there's another long table that comes from the wall, which is directly across from the stairs where this guy is. And there's like tools and stuff on it. And then there's four skeletons behind that table.
I guess okay. It's too late to rest for a day. So I have no spells.
When the male sees you walk in, he says, how dare you trespass with the Lord of Lancerock? You shall die this day.
How dare you sick your zombies on us? And wait, we're not.
They're foul beasts.
We're the intruders.
And so the hood.
It's not like there was a sign.
So there's six figures total.
The closest one to you is the hooded figure that had his back to you.
Yep.
So when the Lord of Lancerock says this, he looks up at him, and he's like looking around. And then he turns and look at you, and he's clearly a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Way down by the stairs, so the stairs are on your right side.
Mm-hmm.
They go up, and the Lord of Lancerock, he's the one that just said that.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably 80 feet into the room.
Mm-hmm.
So then the stairs go down that wall and then turn to the left, and they're like natural stairs on this like kind of cliff thing.
Mm-hmm.
Across from that, so about... probably 100 feet away from you guys, is a table, and behind that is four skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should run.
Where's the 5-foot passageway?
Yeah. There's three skeletons, sorry.
Their numbers count for nothing.
Sorry, we meant to go down the other path. Yeah. We'll see you later.
Is this... I'd be like, is this not the Odobly dose? Is this the Odobly dose?
Roll initiative.
Does anything look special about this zombie in front of us?
Other than the thread and needle?
No. He looks like he's, like, just... As you walk in and you hear him talking and stuff and you see him, he is, like, just doing mindless, like, threading this needle basically through... There's hands and stuff in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really doing anything. He's, like, just using this needle going through. And you can tell he has no clue what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just going through
He's
the motions.
He's mindlessly motioning. Yeah. Very well.
Saltaba is first.
Back away into the hallway. And stay away from getting surrounded. And I light, bathe the threading needle guy in Moonglow and then back up as I draw my shield. So reflex save.
Okay. He passes.
Okay. I back up and I wait there for my comrades.
So the searing, like, moonbeam starts to burn him, and he moans, and then he turns around and looks at you, and then it's going to be Bantar's turn.
I will follow. I will follow him.
You could throw a spear.
Where are you going?
I'm backing up into the hallway that we just came in.
Yeah, I'm assuming you guys have just walked into the hallway, so it's like you, like, one, two, three.
Is it
like
the 5-foot hallway or not the 5-foot hallway?
It's 5 foot wide, yeah.
Okay.
How does the ground that he is standing on look like? Any one of them?
It's stone.
Stone.
This whole chamber is like natural stone.
Okay, never mind then. Yes, I hold my action, move back with him, and hold any other.
Which one are you doing?
You could like
move back.
You could lash
and
out
then
at
holding
him
and my attack.
You're going to ready your attack for what?
Yes, for if anything comes through.
Okay. So you're going to move back to the
back into the tunnel.
Okay. So you guys are like basically the way I'm picturing it, you guys have not actually come out of the tunnel into this chamber yet. So you're like right at
where we want to be.
Yeah. Well, then I won't move then. I'll just hold an action.
Yeah.
Hold my attack.
So you'll just ready your attack for if one of them gets within range. Okay.
Yes.
5 foot passageway here or 10 foot passageway?
5 foot. So then up on the top, the Lord of Lanzarach pulls out a wand and he points it at you and 7 balls of force energy come flying out of it at
you. It's been nice knowing you, brothers.
You take 20 force damage.
I am down.
Okay. So he says, how dare you challenge the Lord of Lanzarach? And he, as he's pulling this wand out, and he pulls it out, and he just unleashes this barrage of force.
There goes my prepared action.
Doesn't he have to roll for...
It automatically hits up to 120 feet magic missile.
I was happy to die your guys' meat shield.
After him is Valshawn. So he uses the wand, and it's clearly a wand of magic missiles, which you guys know that normally, like, they don't hold, like, an infinite supply of magic missiles. Mm-hmm. They have charges on them.
He only needs 2 more. So I will back up into the hallway so that I don't have line of sight to him, mm-hmm. and then I will... Firebolt the zombie.
Yep.
13 versus armor class.
You can basically firebolt him and then move away. But right. if you move too far back, you wouldn't be able to see this guy either.
Okay, so 7 points of damage, and then I will back further into the hallway.
How far back? Are you going to move your full move back?
Just like 15 feet. Cause I don't want to get too far away from Bantar, because I do have hopes that I can save him. But
I didn't even freaking roll for the zombie.
Well, then he's just really into threading that needle. Nothing will break my concentration on this needle.
Then that zombie turns around, and he shambles up to you. You're at the front.
I see nothing. I'm
You're
nearly
unconscious,
dead.
So he just passes right over top of you, and he goes to you.
He's we are right next to each other.
I know, but he's unconscious, laying on the ground.
Gotcha.
So he can stand over his dead body, basically.
All part of the plan.
When so
Bantar rolls a 20,
he
surges to life.
He does like this really horrible lunge at you and stumbles over his body, and you easily dodge it. And then
shield doing his job.
I make rough terrain.
The skeletons out the back on the far, far side of this chamber, which
they get up from their meal.
They like have short bows and like scimitars, and you see that 2 of the skeletons, they draw their scimitars and they come around, and then 2 of them stay there and they draw their short bows. So the 2 with the scimitars, they use their full movement to come all the way through the chamber, and they still don't get to you. They're about 10 feet away from the entrance to the thing. And then the 2 that are out there, they fire, I guess it'd be at you.
And I have a zombie blocking for me.
Yeah, so you have cover, so you have a +2 to your defense. If they miss you by 2, I'll apply that to the armor class of the thing, which will hit them. So 18 versus armor class,
not with the bonus.
Okay, so that will hit the they'll shoot their zombie friend in the back.
Zombie blocker.
Keep that zombie alive.
Okay, so after the other skeleton misses, and then the basket at the base of the where this zombie was, the one that was wearing the cloak that had the matted fur and everything and turned around, and the one that just got shot in the back by his buddy, the basket with disfigured hands and body parts and stuff, like, tips over, and these hands start coming towards you.
Yeah, fuck that, I'm out.
So,
that's where I draw the line.
So, like, they start crawling towards you guys, and they manage to get to, like, about halfway the distance to you.
Okay.
And then it looks like they're drawn towards his body.
We found the room with all the bad guys.
Good job, guys.
Found it.
Too bad we wasted all of our puns in the last room. I'm out of pun ammunition.
Okay, and then we're back to Saltaba.
I could use a hand. Yeah. No, I reach down at my fallen foe and grip. You see water is encompassing my hand, and the cool rushing water rushes into the wounds of Bantar, and you are healed for D8 plus 3. Do you want to roll it, or do you want me to
roll it? Go ahead.
You roll it.
Beat the average. You get 8 hit points. And then
what's the zombie doing on me?
And then I back up a bit further, and I'd be like, follow me, brother.
So your eyes open up, and you see a zombie.
You're staring at zombie crotch.
Like, you're looking at zombie crotch. Like, it's zombie rot.
Zombie crotch rot. Yeah.
So that's what humanoid testicles look like.
So they're a shriveled little bag. Yeah.
I will get up and follow my companion.
You stand up, and are you standing up?
I'm just disengaging and running with my friend.
Well, he's right beside you.
Mm-mm. I backed up further.
Yeah, he said, you come with me.
Yeah.
If you want to live.
Yeah.
Well, then the zombie attacks you when you back up.
Sure.
He misses. Okay, so you roll out from underneath of the zombie, and then you start to run away.
Limp away, more like it. But yes.
17 versus AC?
That hits.
It only gets one reaction per turn, and it took it against me.
That's correct.
Especially considering so, its
you
dex.
Saved him. You saved him. You know, he's got zombie reflexes.
Oh!
Yeah, so...
He was a martial artist in his former life.
That's the fastest zombie I've ever seen.
He lunged at him, so yeah, he doesn't get to. So he's doesn't react quick enough to you escaping. So you get away, and you get about 15 feet down the corridor. You guys can still see into this thing, and you see him come down the stairs, and he says, you'll never defeat the Lord of Lancerock. I have killed you once, and I will kill you again. And force bolts come at you.
I don't like this guy.
Except this time.
There's 37 of them.
There's only 5 of them.
That's okay. It's still going to be enough. Yeah. You couldn't not bring him down. But you could kill him outright.
I don't know if I could kill him. Probably not. No, not with that. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 15. So yeah, I'd just drop you to 0.
Not a fucking gun.
These bolts streak out like and just slam into your back, and you just fall
flat
on your face. And then
I'm alive.
You guys see that he's come down the stairs, and he started to run towards the back of the huge chamber.
That's right. You better run.
Don't worry, guys. He has another wand back there.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just going to get my other wand. And then I need to roll to see if it crumbles to dust. It does not. So he takes off running. And then he doesn't get very far because he just barely got down the stairs. Okay, and then Valshawn.
All right, I'm going to stand over top of my fallen brother and burning hands the F out of this hallway, the burning hands, the zombies, anything within range.
You'd probably want to wait because the hands haven't got up far to where you'd hit them.
Then I will hold my action until the hands would get in my spell, and then I will do that.
Okay, so then the zombie will attack you.
Okay.
You would be adjacent to it then.
Yep.
It misses.
Yay.
And then the skeleton, both skeletons, they move up and they try to get past the zombie and they can't. Like, they get to the funnel thing. And then the other two skeletons will fire at you. And you have, I would say, like 3/4 cover. So you get a +5 to your AC. So that's a miss. And it misses the other two as well.
Yay.
Oh, no, wait. No, that'd hit them fuckers. Okay, so...
blast them.
So yeah, they hit their... They hit the zombie in the back, but not the skeleton in the back.
All right. So, everything needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Just roll your damage, so I know what the...
9 points of damage.
Nine.
Okay, so the zombie passes. The two skeletons pass as well. And the hands just burn up. So.
More importantly, I need to roll my d20.
Good thing we didn't come here
first. Do it so hard. We really wanted it on that one, guys.
I know. My whole plan was that I was going to roll one there, and something crazy is going to happen.
Fireball on top of you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going for.
Immolate yourself.
The zombie collapses in the fire, and he just, like, burns, incinerates him.
I'm like, one for one.
And so all of the hands burn up as well. So they move in closer to try to get around, and they just burn up in the flames.
Get it.
Saltaba.
Saltaba once again reaches down for Bantor. Bantor, continue to fight.
We need you to take damage.
He's out of the wand. I heal you for five. You have 5 hit points.
Oh, I had the worst dream.
Goose-egged for first level spells.
Okay, and so...
and then I...
Bantor, you wake up.
Back the fudge up a little more.
I fucking run like I've never run before.
Okay, so...
He backs up with me.
Yes.
So the skeletons haven't got up close enough, so they don't take attacks of opportunity or anything. Okay, so then the Lord of Lance Rock is no longer there, and then Valshawn.
All right. So what's exactly in front of me?
So there's two skeletons in a row, like you, 10-foot, them, and then them two are way behind you.
All right.
Like 30 feet.
Yeah.
Burning hands, those two skeletons. Nice. 16 points of damage. They have to make dexterity saving throws for half.
And, most importantly.
Man, most importantly.
Do it. Do it.
They both fail. So their bones just, like, disintegrate and they stop moving.
All right, and then I run away.
Okay. So you guys go to the star chamber, and then are you going past that, or?
We're going to set up an ambush.
Agreed. I take, I get to the, where it entrances back out into the next chamber. I want to lay down a sheet of water and, then turn it to ice with shape water.
Who's this for? For the Lord of Lancerock? He's the only one remaining.
Yes. There's two skeletons.
Yeah. They both burn up.
The two shooting bows from far across.
Oh, yeah, the two shooting bows, yep. Okay, so... You guys dispatch them. Like, you set up your traps, and that happens. So, you guys burn them up as they come around.
Excellent. So now we rush the Lord of Lancerock.
Like, you guys go ahead. So. I'll be right behind you.
No, we need you to take that first magic missile, and then we will take him out.
Do you have any spells left?
Never said that I didn't take one for the team.
Don't you have spells left?
Roll your arcana.
Actually, I think I have one spell left.
Cure yourself.
I don't have cure.
Wounds?
What do you get? No. The noise that the wand made... Like. When he fired the second volley of magic missiles, you can tell that it's ran out of charges.
Okay. If we're going to do it...
Let's do it now.
Now is the time.
We put our hands in, all for one, one for all.
And you guys take a rest before you go in there?
Oh, please God, yes.
Sure.
Did it look like there was an exit out of that place?
The back of the room was open. Mm-hmm. So he went through there and then turned to the right, which would have went to the north, so, and you didn't see him anymore.
So we take an hour, and then we rush in there.
No, you take a full rest, don't you?
Yeah, we block up that door, we brace everything, we take a full night's rest, and then we rush the door.
Okay, you go through, it goes
great
around.
Now.
It goes around.
And,
you end
get
up
to the chopper!
I spend all of my bennies to regain all of my spells.
It separates and then comes back together, mm-hmm. and then there's a small chamber, and in this chamber, there's shrouded...
In red mist.
There's an oval cavern opens here, 40 feet wide and 60 feet long. Dark purple tapestries hang on the walls. At the center stands a pedestal fashioned of several arms arranged to clutch one another in a cone. Cradled in the uppermost hands is a glowing crystal ball, a crystal sphere... And a dark sigil with an eye-like slit floats above the sphere. So there's like a purple sphere above it with like a black slit in it. And there's like tapestries all along, like curtains basically, all along the walls that are purple.
I touch the black slit.
So when you touch the thing, it's clearly some kind of hologram and it disappears.
Oh, okay. I don't die.
Dex save.
Yep.
And
there's no exits to this room.
You may have mage hand.
You pick up the drift globe and it's fine.
Yes, we pick it up. The Lord of Lancerock has fled from our fearsome.
No, he hasn't.
God damn it.
So when you grab the drift globe, you hear him behind the curtain and he says, do not touch my sphere. The Lord of Lancerock does not like it when you touch his stuff.
Guys, he's behind the curtain. Yeah. Burning hands through the curtain.
Fucking, I chuck it down the hall.
Okay, so as you when you throw it, it just floats and slowly floats down the hall.
That's actually kind of cool.
We'll get that later.
Yeah, it's actually kind of neat.
I'm like,
okay. So then you guys roll your attacks, you get a surprise round, and hopefully you kill him, because if not, it's going to be hard as fuck.
No, we'll be all right. I'm going to use a Benny to get advantage. Guiding Bolt.
Okay, yep.
One of those is
that will hit.
Okay. 10 points of damage.
I Burning Hands for 16, and I did not activate my cool shit.
I'll entangle his ass.
Bantar. Stab him in the face.
Or, nah, I want to attack. Fuck entangle.
Yeah.
You get advantage.
Oh, 14.
That's a miss.
Fuck.
So, when you go to hit him, like, his whole body shimmers, and you can tell he has mage armor cast on himself. And then
I should have went for the knee.
And then he goes to grab you with his hand, and he does vampiric touch.
This guy does not like me. So, not as much as I don't like him.
17.
That will hit. Well, once again, isn't if you die three times is a technical knockout?
That's actually what TPK is for. Technical party kill.
It's 9 necrotic.
I can take that.
And so when he grabs you, like, your blood and stuff starts pouring into his hand, and, like, your life force starts to mount, and you can tell he looks healthy.
In this case, it would be mud and rock.
Yes.
Well, you're a Genasi, so you're half blood. So he still takes it. He says, thank you. Okay, and then you guys get...
You're welcome.
I need him to give me a constitution saving throw. As I brilliantly illuminate the radiance of the night, and I deal him 18 points of radiant damage.
And I do 11 on top of that fire. I do not
sexy
activate my mage cool stuff.
How many did you do? He fails, so he dies. So you guys manage to slay.
And then you stab for the knee.
Yes.
The Lord of Lancerock.
Moon and spear and fire.
And that's the end of that. So one of you guys would get the drift globe, and one of you could take the magic missile wand.
I'd take the magic missile wand and snap that piece of shit in half.
And it would explode all the charges, and you would die.
Who gets the last laugh? Roll it out.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast, the flagship program of the RPG Academy Network. If you enjoy what we do here, then please check out therpgacademy.com and visit our site partners for additional entertainment and gaming advice.
We do this out of love for the hobby and for you, our fans. The podcast and site content will always be free for you to enjoy and utilize. But we do have expenses related to the show. If you'd like to help out in any way, please visit patreon.com/therpgacademy and check out the rewards we are providing for your monthly pledges. We use all funds that come in to improve the show and give you better content and quality.
And if you don't have the coin to spend, don't worry. You can still help us out in many ways. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you clear your cookies and you visit Amazon or the Drive-Thru RPG site through our portal, we get a small percentage of what you pay, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Just like any RPG, our site works best with open lines of communication. We love talking with our listeners about everything. Please contact us with any questions, concerns, and comments that you have. We also love to hear feedback and experiences from your own games. You can email us via podcast@therpgacademy.com and reach us on social media, such as Facebook and Google+, @therpgacademy.
But Twitter is usually the fastest way to reach us. You can find my favorite co-host, TheCalebG, @TheCalebG.
And you can find my favorite co-host, Michael, @TheRPGAcademy.
Thanks for listening, and as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.